Hey, everybody, I'm Jill.
And this is Mel.
And this is Mel and Jill Geek Out. Hi, Mel.
Hey, Jill. How's it going?
Better now.
Yes, I'm sorry. I unplugged. Okay, so here's the backstory. I work from home on Fridays and sometimes other days in the week, but typically on Fridays. So I like to use my computer to watch TV while I work on Fridays because it's quiet and I just need background noise. And I put something like silly on, like I'm doing VPR. So I unplug my headphones from my computer so it'll come out of my speakers. And when I undo that, then the audio settings in Audition change. And so then I plug them back in and I said there, I did tell it that there was no changes to the audio hardware setup because there weren't, but it didn't believe me. So it wouldn't let me record it until I opened the dialog box and clicked on my headphones as the output device. Girl. Mind you, I'm not outputting anything to my headphones right now through Audition. It like literally doesn't matter, but it wouldn't let me record until I did that.
Yeah, I understood about 2% of that. Something to do with when you plugged your headphones in.
Yes, Audition thinks it's sending audio to my headphones. It's not. I'm pulling the audio out of the video chat.
Mm. Oh, you had the same problem I did. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, we're here to talk about DTS today.
Yes.
But there's also some good Gunther Steiner news for you.
Oh, I'm so here for it. I love me some Gunther.
He has been announced as the Miami Grand Prix ambassador. I have no idea what that means. I think we're just going to see him a lot on the TV at the race.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
If Netflix doesn't keep him as a talking head for DTS season 7, I may riot.
Yeah, I really hope that they offered him a commentary spot. So
please,
because you know he'll be fucking hilarious.
Oh, and especially now that he doesn't have to answer to Gene Haas, like he'll be extra funny
because he'll be telling the truth.
He will be telling the motherfucking truth.
Exactly.
And like he has such a good relationship with so many of the drivers and stuff. I'm like, please, like, can I need Gunther in my life?
I think we will see him. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But other than that, there wasn't much F1 news this week.
No,
it's not
really.
It's not a race week. So the next one coming up here is Japan. So mm-hmm. That should be fun.
Big hopes for Yuki, even though I can't have him in my fantasy lineup. He is blocked out for me this week.
I have to set an entire lineup. Like all
so
my
John.
All my drivers are gone this week. So
I only have signs. Everything else I have to set.
Yeah. We'll see. I gotta decide what route I'm gonna take. So
It's tough. You never know.
Never
I kinda wanna wait just a little bit and see practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
And go from there.
Kinda go from there. So, well, you ready to get into the episode?
I'm ready.
So we're gonna talk about episode 5, probably 6 as well. That's the plan. But who knows? Maybe we'll talk too much, but I think we'll be able to get it there.
We'll be okay.
So as a reminder, this is Drive to Survive season 6, and we're going to start with episode 5, Civil War, which kind of takes a look at Alpine.
That is quite the title of the episode.
It really is, considering everything we know about it. So Otmar is the Alpine team principal. He's doing a speaking gig at Cambridge. And we see that Pierre Gasly has joined Alpine. He's at a photo shoot. Which we knew was going to happen. Yes, we knew it was going to happen. He was in a photo shoot in Cannes with his gorgeous girlfriend. And he said he left AlphaTauri because he can't win in their car. And he wants to be bigger than the sport. He wants to be like Senna and Schumacher and Hamilton. So I think he's got some high aspirations.
Yeah. I think he might have jumped from the frying pan into the fire a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we will see that more so in the episode. So one thing that this will get brought up here in a little bit. Ocon is already on the team. Esteban Ocon. Esty bestie. Yes.
Esty bestie.
He's French.
So is Pierre Gasly.
Gasly is French. Alpine is a French team. So everybody's French.
Yeah, and there's like a big source of pride in French drivers on the French team, all that kind of stuff. Like,
exactly.
It's kind of like the baby version of Ferrari for Italy.
Yes, agreed. That's kind of how I would see it. But as we saw in the preview from last week, they're not friends.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
And they've known each other a very long time.
Yes. To be fair, a lot of these drivers have known each other that long. So, but they have a particularly interesting history. Ocon has a reputation for, I think Buxton said, doesn't always play nice with his teammates. And then we get a nice little montage of Ocon being an asshole.
Yeah, he's not the best teammate to have.
No, no. And I just see a massive mess for Otmar a mile away.
Yeah, and it's like Otmar doesn't see it. He's like, no, they'll be fine. They're French. No. I'm like, my dude.
It's very different vibes than Nico and Kevin Magnussen.
Exactly. We're like, obviously there was a very clear incident with them, but they both seem to have matured and grown past it. They probably were past it like not long after the suck my balls incident.
Probably. Like,
they're hot-headed race car drivers. That's a pretty standard thing.
This seems to be much more deeply rooted.
Yeah, the way they described it is it's something from literally childhood that neither of them have fully let go of. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, you're like in your 20s or 30s at this point. How much does a go-karting race from when you were like preteens fucking matter?
So did you like how Otmar like made it even more fucking awkward by making them do this little karting PR stunt? It was the Ignite that started it initially. And then it's like, oh, this will be a great idea to have them kart. And, you know, we get the nice little montage. Pierre says he's given Ocon the opportunity to repair the relationship, but he hasn't taken it. So, yeah, we're going to move on for now. So we see now,
but yeah, what PR person thought that was a good fucking idea?
I don't know. I don't
know. You already know there's tension between these two drivers. You know the origin of said tension, and then you're going to shove them right back into the exact scenario in which created the tension. Like, that's going to do anything other than re-traumatize everyone? Come on, my dude.
Yeah, it wasn't a great decision at all.
No.
So we jump to Australia, which is the third race of the season. Alpine is in fifth place at this point.
Mm-hmm. Not great, not bad.
Yeah, not great, not bad. Gasly starts the race behind Ocon, mm-hmm. and essentially chaos ensues.
It was a generally chaotic race.
Yes.
But the Alpines definitely helped to make it an extra interesting.
Yeah. They both crashed
into each other.
Yep. is like a huge, it's like a joke, honestly. Like, oh my God, I'd have been so pissed. So literally pissed.
Like, if I had been Otmar, I would have brought them into my office and they would be leaving with new assholes. Because I would have ripped him one.
And it was so funny, too, because when he was interviewed, he just doesn't seem bothered at all.
Otmar, like, Otmar, in my humble opinion, had no business being a team principal. He does not have the intellectual fortitude to hold that role.
He seems like he's trying to be a dad. I don't know.
This isn't for a fathery role. Like, you need to be authority, which, yes, fathers have authority, but like you have to be stern and strict and like understanding and compassionate. You have to be a lot of things, but like ultimately if my two drivers have their heads so far up their own assholes that they wreck both of my multi-million-dollar cars costing us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you bet your ass I would not be happy with them. They would know exactly how unhappy I was with them. And they would have to be on their absolute best behavior or I would cut one of them. Whoever fucked up, fucking lose.
I think that's exactly how it should be handled. I was blown away that Otmar was so chill about it. I was like, dude, are you not seeing what everybody else is seeing? Now, to be fair, it is all intensified on Drive to Survive. Like it's not nearly this bad in the show. It's all condensed. They've condensed the entire 24 race season into
10 episodes.
Exactly. So it's going to seem way more of a big deal than it was. And don't get me wrong, them crashing into each other was a really big fucking deal, but you know,
it's a really bad look. And the reason they crashed was like stupid. So it happened at the end of the race. So K-Mag had a blowout and they had a yellow flag, like a caution happen. And there was two laps remaining in the fucking race. And they were starting like one behind the other, and it was in watching what was delivered through Drive to Survive, it was fucking Akon's fault. He was pissy.
Yeah,
he was real pissy.
It was I can't remember exactly why, but I remember it being like all the details of it because we record these episodes far apart. That Australia was kind of a interesting, controversial race last year with everything, the big crash happening with the last two, within the last two laps. It was just it was a bananas race to watch last season.
They ended up finishing under the safety car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not very normal in F1.
No, it was ridiculous. So anyway, we've already talked post-race, so we're going to jump to Normandy. And I just wrote briefly that, like, Akon was working out, but, like, nobody looks happy right now. Everybody looks fucking pissed.
No, they look pretty dissatisfied.
Yeah. So then we're in Monaco, and the Alpine CEO says that the season is unacceptable and amateurish to the press, mind you. Like, I love how petty they all are.
It's so unfiltered. Like, it really you is. Are not like, I would never I don't ever want to go into PR. No, thank you. I would never want to run PR for an F1 team because none of them fucking listen.
They just say shit.
And I'm like, oh my God, can I duct tape your mouth shut?
It's so funny because, like, not only will the teams put out ultimatums repeatedly, different teams for different people, and it's happening again this season. I won't say who, But someone's supposedly been given a 2-race ultimatum, which is a very short turnaround, which tells me they've already decided they're going to pull him.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? But if your boss is out there telling the media that the season is unacceptable and amateurish, I would be very worried about my job.
I would be concerned. I would have asked for a meeting and been like, I am sorry.
Please don't fire me.
Please don't fire me. I'm going to do what I can to get these two motherfuckers to get along. But this is the problem. Like, the CEO of Alpine probably wouldn't have said that to the press if Otmar had any kind of control over these two fucking drivers.
Yeah. I can't remember who said this. And I think maybe it was about James Vowles. Maybe it was last episode. Somebody was saying, oh, I don't know if he has the ability to lead or like to
manage the people.
Manage the people.
And that was actually Total Wolf via you.
Oh, there we go. Yay. So, but this fits the same fucking situation. I don't mm-hmm. think Otmar has the ability to manage these drivers at all.
No.
So, while we're at Monaco and qualifying, the car actually isn't doing now that bad.
No, the car is fine.
Ocon qualifies P3, Gasly P7. Otmar says before the race, he feels the pressure, but feels like they're in a good position to get a double podium. I think that's reaching. Like,
Otmar's covering his ass.
I guess. I would not have put them in the top three teams last year at that point. Absolutely not. No way.
No way in hell. Were they going to get any? No. Red Bull was miles and miles ahead of everyone. Ferrari was doing pretty well mm-hmm. at the time. And Mercedes was still doing pretty well.
It was just that Red Bull made everybody look so bad. That
yeah.
yeah.
Red Bull was
so anyway,
ridiculously ahead of everyone.
We hear from Gasly that he was shown a strategy where he helps Ocon win, and he didn't look very happy about that. Ocon gets hit in the race, has to box. Gasly gets to third. Ocon ends up fifth, but then rain.
Yeah, and right before the rain hits, Gasly boxes. Mm-hmm. And for some unknown fucking reason, they don't put rain tires on his car.
Correct. Yep.
I feel like they fucked him.
Well, that was his second pit as well. So it was they absolutely fucked him over, whether it was intentional or not. They absolutely fucked Gasly over. He ended up P7 and Esteban got P3, which good job. But Jesus Christ, I don't know what happened, but they dropped the ball so badly. Mm-hmm. So badly.
They really did.
I feel bad for Gasly because he kind of ended up, I feel like he's going the way of Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He had a really great shot and didn't impress Red Bull quick enough. Moves to AlphaTauri to try to stay in that realm. Decides, nope, I really want to go somewhere else. They've got a fast car. So I'll go here. And then now the 24 season is just real bad. Mm-hmm. There was no real resolution to the Ocon Gasly feud.
No, they kind of gave us a little bit of a cliffhanger, and it does come back later in the season.
It does. It does.
I felt like it was all poor people management on Otmar. Otmar had Esty Besty already on the team. And then whoever was his teammate last season, which I don't remember, before they brought in Gasly, that person left.
Yeah, I don't remember.
They bring
either.
In Gasly. And it's like, you didn't look in to the drivers that you're going to bring in. Like, you're not getting rid of Ocon. And you're going to bring in Gasly. They have beef from a long ass time ago that neither of them are over. You're not going to do really much of anything to try to get them to fucking resolve it or act professionally towards each other.
Yeah.
And you're going to just sit there and be like, oh, everything's fine. I'm like, take the rose colored glasses off.
Yeah, it's not fine.
It's not fine. It's so not fine. How, like, stop being an ostrich and get your fucking head out of the sand.
Yeah, it was so bad that they crashed into each other in the third race of the season.
Yeah, like, tensions are high.
Very high.
And you seem to just not give a fuck.
No, not even a little.
And well, I don't understand.
I take it. I do think he gives a fuck. He just doesn't see it.
Otmar is the walking embodiment of toxic positivity.
Oh, I'll give you that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you are trying so hard to stay positive, you are ignoring the legitimate problems
right you
should
you.
Be working on.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I will give you that one. So that wraps up episode 5. And then we'll go to 6, which is Leap of Faith.
Yeah. Talk about Merk
and Hamilton.
I have to say this because I finally watched the last episode of the season. And I do not understand why Lewis Hamilton gets such a shitty edit on Drive to Survive from the point in which I picked up, which was season 3, till now. Every time they have a storyline that revolves around Mercedes or Lewis Hamilton, he gets a very bad edit. It's like Netflix is a hate account for Lewis Hamilton. I don't understand.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe it's because he's like, I hate to sound like a fangirl, and I'm really not, but like, he's such a good dude. He really is. Like, he gives back to his community. He, like, does what he can for the people around him. And I just don't think Netflix knows what to do with him. And they know he's on his way out. And they're trying to set up this, like, big storyline between him and Max. And I guess because Max is going to stay around, that's where they're going. But I don't get it either. I don't know.
I don't understand. I'm not a big fan of it because to me, there doesn't seem to really be anything to make Hamilton have such a bad edit.
Yeah. I think maybe just because he's such a winning driver. Because you know how everybody's complaining now about Red Bull being so dominant?
But Red Bull does not get that bad of an edit.
I'm not. Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
So, but that's how people used to feel about Mercedes. Because before the rise of Red Bull, it was Mercedes and it was Lewis Hamilton. So, and he won all the fucking time and people said it was boring. Now, granted, it wasn't like it is right now. Like, Red Bull is kind of blowing this thing out of the water. Mm-hmm. Not so much this season, but still.
We're only 3 races in.
Yeah, we're only 3 races in, so it's very early. But, you know, I think that's why they're turning them into the villain, because they were kind of the villain at the time. But yeah, the Red Bull gets a favorable edit, even if Max doesn't like to participate and rarely does.
He wasn't ever a talking head in the season.
No.
And Christian Horner was barely even talked to. Like,
yeah.
When we get to the end of this, they don't really talk about Red Bull that much in this entire season. I'm sorry. My dog, of course, decides to shake at the most opportune time.
I think because Max really dislikes it. I think Christian Horner fucking loves it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he had taken a step back because Max, for whatever reason, I don't know.
I feel like we could potentially have a whole episode about what they missed, what they didn't cover the season. Some of my Red Bull feelings would probably fall in there.
We'll do one. All right. So we start off the episode in Stuttgart, Germany, at the Mercedes test track. George is driving a car, test driving a car. Mm-hmm. I don't know which car was it.
It was the Mercedes AMG.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Not like the race car, but the production model. Yes. Like the $150,000 car.
So Hamilton comes up and says his contract is up for renewal in a couple years. It was up for renewal. That's right.
That year.
He had had a couple of rough years. Sorry. My brain squished all that together.
Between the porpoising and then Mercedes continuing to struggle with the car in 2022 season.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been fun
to
be a Mercedes driver.
And he wants his eighth title. It's 2023 isn't starting out all that great for him. So
nope.
He says something that I thought was a little odd or a smidge dramatic, but maybe again, it's the unfavorable edit. But when he said that he can't remember winning, I was like, it's been a minute.
In all fairness, it had been a minute. Did he win a race in 2022?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
So it has, in fact, been a minute.
True.
An entire race season,
but you
not
don't
win
fucking
anything.
Forget. Come on.
You don't forget, but it is that phrasing didn't bother me as much because of how race car drivers are.
Yeah, that's fair. I did make a note about something that I again firmly stand by. I think they all had a fucking bet going about who could say the most out-of-pocket shit and have it on Netflix, because Hamilton says that Netflix are eavesdropper, and then George admits to taking a shit while mic'd up. It made Hamilton belly laugh, which was hilarious. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When you're on a TV show like this, you probably at some point do forget that you're mic'd.
I guess so.
Like, it just depending on the mic.
It just seems to be coming out a lot this season.
They're just on one. But I do like how Hamilton brought up him looking at Fernando Alonso. And he's like, well, Fernando's popped teams a lot, and it's not necessarily been super bad for his career. And at the time in which the interview took place, Aston Martin was doing Pretty damn well.
Yes.
So I think, and Hammy's been with Mercedes
forever.
Yeah. And so I think they're definitely introducing him, entertaining the idea of potentially going elsewhere.
Yes. Yes. So then we're going to jump to Monaco.
Oh, we can't go all the way to Monaco. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
So, obviously, Mercedes is still struggling with the car.
Yes.
And Lewis says something in, a little meeting with the engineers and Toto and stuff. He's like, hey, guys, this thing is wrong. Da 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 da.
Okay.
No one listened to him.
Oh, I remember talking about this with you. Yeah, I just kind of skimmed over this. You go right ahead.
And so then we get some time with Toto and Susie.
Okay.
And they take their kiddo to go-kart racing.
Oh, you are jumping way ahead.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Apparently, whatever happened in Monaco, I didn't care about because I didn't take any notes on it.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Because, I have a whole bunch of stuff here.
Apparently, whatever happened in Monaco, I did not find interesting.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Okay. Hamilton got P4 and he makes this comment about you can only do so much with what you've got. And Buxton makes a point that it's massively disappointing for Mercedes, but they kind of have to get on board with the fact that this is their new reality. They're not going to be winning the race. And I agree with that so much.
They're not the dominant team right now.
No. Claire Williams must have had a talking head, but I didn't write what she wrote. I just said, love hearing from Claire Williams. So
Claire, I feel like, does bring good perspective from about a team that is struggling.
Yes.
Because obviously Williams did and has and probably will continue for a while to struggle.
Yes.
In comparison to the Red Bulls and the Mercedes and the Ferraris of the world. So I always appreciate her input.
So here's where I think the little comment from Hamilton about jumping careers comes into play. Because then we see this nice little montage of Fernando Alonso making podiums and doing phenomenal. And Aston Martin ending up P3 in the Constructors' Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we get to Toto and he's like, no one's impressed. We're talking about the limitations of the car. Hamilton kind of points out this is where, yeah. Hamilton points out that he had gave them feedback at the beginning of the season about how he felt about the car. And they didn't listen. And then now they're listening. Turns out he was right and they were wrong. So, yeah, I'm sure he was thrilled to have that combo.
Yeah. The engineers and the builders and the mechanics are all going to know a lot about the car, but the only person who's going to give you real time feedback is the driver.
Yes.
You got to listen to your drivers.
Correct. Correct. So now we get to see Toto and Susie take Jack kart racing.
Sorry.
It's okay. So Susie says Toto has patience, but when it isn't working, he kind of gets into like a different mode. And she says, you have to learn to cope with losing. You can't win everything. You can't win always. And she's right.
She is.
Yep. I think Toto's coming to grips with that. Yeah.
It is an important sportsmanship lesson.
Yes. I think people forget it when they've been on top for a very long time.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you have to have that level of like humbleness.
Yeah.
When you are on top, because it can happen literally in a split second that you are no longer in that position.
Yeah. Yes.
Like so fast. And it can be within or without, like outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody could randomly run into you. You can be like Carlos Sainz and run over a drain pipe cover that wasn't welded down and it fucks you over.
Yeah.
Like there's so many things that that can happen, and to not be able to approach it with a level of humility is a challenge.
Yep, absolutely. So we get a nice little montage of Toto and Lewis. They've been with each other since 2013. They've broken up ton of records.
Mm-hmm.
Susie, go ahead.
Toto genuinely cares about Lewis.
Oh, yeah. You can't work with somebody that long, that well, and not care about them.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, but not in like a yucky way because I don't like these two people? It's the, I'm not going to remember, Belichick and Tom Brady from the Patriots. That pairing. It was incredibly powerful, obviously. They won a gajillion Super Bowls. I dislike both of them, like bleh. Anyone but the Patriots, please and thank you. I feel like Toto Wolff and Lewis Hamilton are the F1 version of that.
That makes sense.
Where they just have a synergy together.
Agree. I agree with you. I do. Susie says they haven't spoken about if Lewis will resign. I think Toto says to her, like, put your arm around me as if you have sympathy with me to her. I thought that was so funny.
I really, like, we don't get to see their relationship very much.
I love it when we do.
I know. They seem to have, like, a good, like, sense of humor between the two of them. They're very supportive of each other.
You can tell they both adore each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. Give me more Toto and Susie, please.
Yeah. Toto and Susie. Can we have a four-way TV show? Toto and Susie, Benotto and Gunther.
Yes. I love this. I love this. Toto also makes an interesting comment to me anyway about how he wants George. He says George to win his first world championship and Lewis his eighth. He said George first.
I think he said that in order of, like, I don't think he doesn't want Lewis to win his, but he wants George to get that achievement because George is who he has envisioned as Lewis's successor. I don't think George is as good of a driver as Lewis. I'm going to be super honest.
Yeah.
But
I'll agree with you on that. Here's my thing, though. George and Toto are close, like really close. And we'll find out more later. So it, to me, knowing some things, I was like, oh, that's very interesting that he said George first.
Yeah. And I think, too, even though obviously Toto doesn't want Lewis to leave, I think he recognizes that it is going to happen sooner rather than later, regardless of when it actually happens, because Lewis isn't getting any younger.
Yeah.
I think everybody recognizes if he wins his eighth, he'll probably be done.
Maybe.
He'll probably retire.
Maybe. Alonso, I mean, I know Alonso doesn't have eight, but Alonso's still out there driving.
I know, and Alonso's great.
Yep.
But, like, Hamilton, I feel like, I don't know. And this is probably just because I don't know as much about these drivers. I don't know if Alonso has something outside of F1 that he is more engaged with and would rather.
I don't think so. I don't know of anything off the top of my head. I know he likes to party.
Yeah. And it's probably not enough of a draw for him to stop racing cars.
Yeah.
But if you look at least the people within DTS who have retired, there was, oh my gosh, I am not going to remember his name, but the one
Vettel?
In season three. No, well, I'm going to get to Vettel. But the one in season three who got in the terrible accident and, like,
Grosjean, I think.
Grosjean. Yes. He retired because he's like, I don't want to put my wife and my children through that ever again. Vettel retired. Because Vettel has other things he is more interested in doing at this point.
Yeah.
I think Lewis is going to fall into that category. I think when he wins his eighth, when he has won the most championships ever, he can step away and focus on fashion or philanthropy or, frankly, literally anything else that interests him. And he can say that he has left his mark in the record books of F1.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So, cut to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona. Alonso is home. He's Spanish, so it's his home race. It's 2023 was also the first anniversary. Marks the 20th anniversary of his first win in F1. Good Lord, I did not write that down correctly. So then we see Lando and he gives a nice little prediction that he's going to win. We'll see. We
Poor
shall
Lando.
See. And then there's a nice press conference moment with Lewis. And he says he doesn't really know what to expect. He's hopeful to compete with Ferrari and Aston Martin, wants to win, yada, 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 yada.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ferrari rumors start.
Yeah.
But he gets asked about him and Lewis says Ferrari have not been in touch. But Buxton jumps in there. He's like, rumors don't come from nowhere. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I did find it interesting that there seems to be some kind of agreement between Toto and Lewis that they will be transparent with each other. If Mercedes is looking to not renew, Toto will be straight up with him. If Hammy is thinking of leaving, he will be straight up with Toto.
Yes.
I do appreciate the transparency.
I do too. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens on next season.
Yep.
So George says that it would be a bad look. Mm-hmm. If Lewis left the team, it would look like he lost confidence. And again, not wrong.
I don't think that would be a bad impression, though, because Mercedes has really struggled since 2021.
See, I disagree with you. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that. But I think the fact that Hamilton is staying with them is like, okay, I've got faith in this team that they can turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
But if he leaves, it's like, okay, I've given up. I'm not going to put any more effort in this team. So I do think it is a bad look.
Oh, I was concurring with that statement.
Oh, okay. Like, I misunderstood what you said. Gotcha. I thought you were like,
I think it would be not great for Mercedes.
No.
If Lewis Hamilton steps away.
Definitely. Yeah. We're all in agreement there. So cut to race day at Barcelona. Will the new Mercedes upgrade be enough to catch Ferrari? We don't know.
We don't know. That's a big question of the race, though.
So Hamilton and Norris make contact. That's never good when you have a damaged car. But he's able to pass Alonso, and then Ferrari gets to P2. George got to P3. But they don't take a team picture because they don't want to lower their standards. So I guess they only take team pictures when somebody gets a win.
I hated that.
I thought that was such bullshit.
When you've had as rough of a season as they did in 2022 and in 2021, was it 2021 when the porpoising was happening or 2022? I don't remember.
I think it was 21. It could have been 22. I don't remember.
Regardless, when you have had to struggle for every inch you've gotten, you celebrate a double podium.
Absolutely.
You celebrate a double podium. And I think it is you are not stupid enough to be like, well, winning is the only thing that matters, because absolutely no one is anywhere fucking near Max at this point.
No.
Max is literally winning races by like 20, 30 seconds at this point. Like, he is gargantuanly ahead of other people.
Yep.
And to deny not just your drivers, but the entire race team, all of the engineers, all of the crew, the ability to celebrate what is truly an accomplishment is short-sighted, and probably why Merck continues to have problems, because they're not willing to take their morale boosts when they're thrown in their face.
Yeah, I agree with you. So then Lewis, we get a scene with Lewis and Toto talking. Hamilton says they have this nice little exchange, and Hamilton says, you can be here for 20, 30 more years. I can't, which is a great fucking point, because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
At least not as a driver. Toto says, who says? Hamilton, these are precious years for me. I don't know. Toto, you're much more than a race driver. You're one of the people that leads this team forward.
Yeah. And he would feel that way if you guys listened to him when he gave you feedback about the car.
Yeah. They're close, but they both hate losing.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. Hamilton says he has faith that they'll make the car, but I think he's just saying it at this point. I don't know if he actually believes it anymore.
I think for some reason, the timing wasn't right for Lewis to potentially move to another team.
Yeah.
I think that's why he re-signed with Mercedes. He didn't want to take a downgrade because Mercedes was doing better than, you know, McLarens and stuff like that of the world at this time.
It was such a, like, at the time, I remember talking about it last scene. I was like, well, where would he go? There really wasn't anywhere for anyone to go. It was kind of, everyone was solidly locked in. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore. It's going to be an insane, silly season. Insane. Mm-hmm. So
ridiculous.
Ultimately, Hamilton signs a new 2-year contract with Mercedes. Says Mercedes is his home, his family. Toto guarantees that the team will do what they can to give Hamilton the title, but currently the goal is to finish second in the Constructors' Cup.
Yeah, and I think that was Toto setting realistic expectations with how far they were going to be able to get the car that season.
Absolutely.
And seeing that Max was just so far ahead. It wasn't even funny. Like, I think that was not him poo-pooing Hamilton in any by any way, shape, or form. It was seriously just him being like, I don't think it's not going to happen this season, but we're going to keep working at it and we'll try to do it for you next season.
Yep. So I'm sure we'll touch on this later.
Yeah, just we do talk about Mercedes again a little later in the season.
Mm-hmm. But for now, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I continue to have a lot of respect for Toto and Hamilton and the Mercedes team, aside from their unwillingness to like celebrate their achievements if they don't meet a specific thing. But that is a very German way of doing things, so I'm not entirely surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see this piece come full circle. I don't know how, though. I haven't seen the last episode, so I don't know if they touch on it or not.
I finally watched it. They don't.
Okay.
It's a lackluster conclusion.
It was a lackluster season.
Yeah, so I think they were grasping at straws to come, like, you're never going to recreate the season where Hamilton and Max were neck and neck in the driver and constructor. Like, you can't manufacture that.
No.
And to come into this season with Red Bull so dominant and like really not a lot of movement in the teams, it makes it more difficult to tell a compelling story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about you? Any final thoughts?
No, I'm excited to see the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, we have 4 more to go.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then we have the rest of the actual season. We will be sure to keep you all updated.
Yeah. When I continue to just kill it in the fantasy league.
I hope you do. I hope you do.
I'm not actually banking on that, but
I'm pretty sure I won't be last. Someone is just doing astronomically worse than me, which is great. I'm still in the middle of the pack, but I'm pretty confident I won't be last. So I'm good.
Yeah, Harambe 2024.
To be fair, he knows nothing about F1. So,
okay. But like, watch some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That's what John did. He like,
he's doing very well.
YouTube view. I also help him a lot.
Well, you're both doing great.
Don't pick an Alpine.
Oh yeah. I've definitely given that advice to a few people. So one almost didn't listen.
Wow. Hey, I was going off of the previous season for the first race and almost picked an Alpine, and then I noped right out of that after practice. I was like, yeah, I'm switching you out.
Yeah. I hope they can bring some more upgrades. We'll see.
Yeah, or they're going to have some really unsatisfied drivers.
Very.
You know who's also having some seriously unsatisfied drivers? It's Kick Sauber.
Yeah, they are. Oh, Lordy. It's an interesting season. And it's only three races in.
Oh my gosh. But yes. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to check out what is coming up next on the pod, be sure to give us a follow over on Instagram. It's Mel and Jill Geek Out. Or if you have a suggestion of what we should geek out about next, you can always shoot us an email over at jillandmelgeekout@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Melissa.
And I'm Jill.
And this has been Mel and Jill Geek Out. Bye, guys.
Bye.